Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Mike O'Mara reminding you to check out Amazon Prime Instant Video. The white banner is on our website and it gives you instant movies and TV shows. Amazon Prime Instant Video, click on the white banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and you can start your free trial right now. And now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
We are going to wear a different hat for a while. We're going to dispense with the yucks just at the beginning of the show today. We talked about an article that caught my eye in the Huffington Post, an article by an author, Johan Hari, who has written a book about the war on drugs called Chasing the Scream, The First and Last Days of the War on Drugs. And the thing that I loved about this, number one, I rail against journalism in the United States, and I talk about how superficial it's gotten, how we don't dig deep. This is a gentleman that spent years researching his subject, the war on drugs. And the article was entitled, "The Likely Cause of Addiction Has Been Discovered, and It's Not What You Think." And I was incredibly surprised by it. I thought it was beautifully written. And we got a chance to speak with the author. We've got him right now all the way in London, England. Johan Hari is our guest right now. Johan, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, hey, Mike. Thanks for having me. And thanks for the nice things you said. I really appreciate that.
Well, you know, I think that we talk about it occasionally, about journalism and the way that we scratch the surface and the sound bites and we don't dig deep. And I think when you do dig deep, you tend to discover things that might surprise people. And this article was an enormous surprise to me. You have some very, very interesting theories about the war on drugs. Let's start with what, in your opinion, would be, for those of us here in the States, the single biggest myth about the war on drugs or drug addiction. What would be the biggest myth in your opinion?
There's so many. I would start with addiction. And I thought I understood this when I started. The reason I did this research and I went on this journey is partly because one of my earliest memories is of trying to wake up one of my relatives and not being able to. And as I got older, I realized we had a drug addiction in my family and actually several of my relatives. And I kind of realized we were coming up to, it's now exactly 100 years since drugs were first banned. And I kind of realized there were just loads of really basic questions that the culture had never told me the answer to, like, why did we go to war against drug users and drug addicts 100 years ago? Why do we carry on when it doesn't seem to be working? Are there alternatives that actually would help turn addicts' lives around? And what really causes drug use and drug addiction? And I think the thing that most amazed me, I ended up going on this 30,000-mile journey across a lot of different countries, meeting a lot of different people. The thing that really amazed me is almost everything we think we know about this subject is wrong. Drugs aren't what we think they are. Addiction isn't what we think it is. The drug war isn't what we think it is. The alternatives to the drug war aren't what we think they are. And I think just to take one of them, addiction, because I know that's what caught my eye too, and this is what caught your eye. If you'd said to me 4 years ago, what causes, say, heroin addiction?
Right.
I think I would have looked at you like you were a little bit simple-minded, right? Mm-hmm. I would have said, well, obviously, heroin causes heroin addiction. We've been told a story for a century that's just obvious to us. We think if you, me, and the next 20 people to walk past your studio all used heroin together for 20 days, on day 21, we'd all be heroin addicts because there are
Absolutely.
Chemical hooks in
right.
heroin.
Right.
Exactly. Your body would start to physically need those chemical hooks, and by the end, you'd have this desperate craving. First thing that alerted me to the fact there's something that can't be right about that story is when it was explained to me, if I step out of this interview now and I get hit by a truck and I break my hip, I'll be taken to hospital and I'll be given loads of diamorphine. Diamorphine is heroin. It's actually much stronger heroin than I could ever get from a drug dealer because the drug dealer will send you contaminated stuff, sell you contaminated stuff, whereas obviously the doctor gives you medically pure stuff. I'll be given that heroin for quite a long period of time. Anyone listening to this who's had a hip replacement operation, you've taken loads of heroin for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Now, if what we think about addiction is right, what should happen to those people? They're exposed to all the same chemical hooks as an addict. They should become addicted. This has been studied very carefully. It doesn't happen. And when I learned that, that didn't make any sense to me. It just seems instinctively wrong based on everything I've ever been told. And I only really began to understand it when I went to Vancouver and interviewed an extraordinary professor there called Bruce Alexander. He's a professor of psychology who did a really important experiment. He explained to me the idea of addiction we have in our heads, the one that we were just talking about, comes partly from a series of experiments that were done earlier in the 20th century. They're really simple experiments. Your listeners could try them at home tonight if they feel a little bit sadistic. You get a rat. You get a rat and you put it in a cage and you give it two water bottles. One is just water. The other is water laced with either heroin or cocaine. If you do that, the rat will almost always prefer the drugged water and almost always kill itself.
I remember, Johan, I remember actually watching that. Maybe it was the 70s or 80s. I seem to remember watching a video of experiments with
rodents.
I think it was required viewing
in high school.
Wasn't
like
it?
Like our health classes.
Where you see the rat shaking and out of control. And they use that to say, this is what happens if you experiment with drugs. If you take heroin, or cocaine, you're going to have this happen. And then you, in your book, you mentioned a couple of different rat experiments, right?
Well, it's very interesting. That was actually the thing you're thinking of. You can watch it on YouTube if you put in Partnership for Drug-Free America rat advert, right?
There you go.
This is really famous.
Rat advert.
Yeah. And but in the 70s, Bruce Alexander came along and looked at that experiment, and he noticed something. He said, hang on a minute, we're putting the rat in an empty cage, and it's got nothing to do except use these drugs. So he decided to tweak the experiment. What he did is he built a cage that he called Rat Park, which is basically like paradise for rats. They've got loads of cheese, they've got loads of tunnels, they've got loads of colored balls. Crucially, they've got loads of friends, they can have loads of sex, and they've got, just like in the early experiment, the previous experiment, they've got both the water bottles, the normal water and the drugged water. But this is the fascinating thing. In Rat Park, they don't like the drugged water. They all try it because they don't know what it is. And when they try it, they just don't like it. They almost never use it. None of them ever use it compulsively. None of them ever overdose. Now, there's loads of implications for that. But one of the things that Bruce Alexander began to think, what if addiction is not about the chemical hooks? What if it's about your cage? What if it's about your bond? Human beings have an innate need to bond and connect with each other. And when we're happy and healthy, we'll bond and connect. You know, we'll bond and connect with each other, with other human beings. But if you can't do that because you're beaten down or traumatized or isolated and cut off, you're going to bond with something that gives you some sense of relief and keep returning to it. That might be vodka. That might be pornography. It might be gambling. It might be cocaine. But you will bond and connect with something.
Oscar, my coworker, is smiling at me right now because you happen to mention a couple, Johan, that I'm quite fond of myself.
What about food?
I won't ask which of those four.
The vodka and gambling might be up there for me.
Okay.
Because we don't have a ton of time, I want to get to some of the high points here because I think you did a great job. I was going to ask you about the rat experiment. Can you give some examples of places where changes have resulted in positive results, decriminalization, where they've treated it. And you have to treat these addicts a little differently than we previously thought as far as warehousing them in a prison. Am I right about that?
Yeah. In Arizona, I went out with a group of women who were forced to go out on a chain gang wearing T-shirts saying I was a drug addict and forced to dig graves while members of the public could jeer at them. Once you understand that isolation and suffering are big causes of addiction, you realize that not only is that not effective, it's counterproductive. Those women's addictions are going to get worse. I went to a place that does the exact opposite. In the year 2000, Portugal had one of the worst drug problems in Europe. 1% of the population was addicted to heroin. And every year they did the American way, more imprisoned more people, arrested more people. And every year the problem got worse. And one day they decided, look, let's just set up a panel of scientists and doctors to go and look at all this evidence, including the stuff we're talking about. And let's agree in advance that we'll do whatever they recommend. So the panel goes away, comes back and says, decriminalize all drugs, from cannabis to crack. But, and this is the crucial next step, take all the money we used to spend on cutting addicts off and spend it instead on reconnecting them with the society. And it's really important to understand that's not really what we think of as drug treatment in the United States and Britain. It's not, they do a little bit of residential rehab and psychological support that does have some value. But actually the thing they did is the exact opposite. Think about those women on that chain gang. When they get out of prison, they're gonna have criminal records. They're gonna never have access to the legal economy again. It would be very difficult. What they did in Portugal was make sure every addict had a job. They set up a huge program of job subsidies. So basically, say you used to be a mechanic. They'll go to a garage and they'll say, if you employ this guy for a year, we'll pay half his wages. The goal was to make sure that every addict in Portugal had something to get out of bed for in the morning and could start having normal relationships and normal bonds. And it'll be 15 years this year since that experiment began, and the results are in. Injecting drug use is down in Portugal by 50%. Mm. Overdose deaths are massively down. All signs, street crime is massively down. I went and interviewed the guy who led the opposition to the decriminalization, a guy called João Figueira, who's the top drug cop in Portugal, who said what a lot of your listeners are probably thinking, which is, surely if you decriminalize everything, it'll be a total disaster. And he said to me, everything I said would happen didn't happen, and everything the other side said would happen did. And he talked about how he felt ashamed that he'd spent 20 years fighting a drug war that he now saw was totally counterproductive, and that there was an alternative based on love and compassion that really does work.
Johan, and I appreciate your time. This is Oscar here. And when we initially talked about this article, Mike and I were on two sides of the conversation, on opposite sides. And I thought initially that I would disagree with you, but I agree with what you're saying right now. What do you say? And there are people out there that are fortunate enough in our listening audience and in my personal life that have gone to these really, really, really sophisticated rehab facilities that are offering what you say is probably the overall solution, where you get support, you get love, mm-hmm. you get acceptance, and they really walk you through these paces. And a lot of these places are very expensive.
Sure.
And if that is the case, why is the propensity for these people that have come out of these higher tier rehab facilities to still relapse? Because it's a disease, and it's not, I don't think it's as easy as just loving and supporting and taking a different approach to this type of problem.
I think the failure of rehab, which you're totally right to highlight, and it has a very high failure rate, short-term residential rehab, reinforces this Bruce Alexander's theory, doesn't undermine it. So let's picture again those cages, the isolated rats and then rat park. Let's imagine you took that rat out of an isolated cage, the isolated addicted cage, and put it into rat park for a week, and then put it back in the isolated cage. You wouldn't be surprised that it relapsed. The problem with the way that we think of rehab is we think, oh, you go away for, if you're really lucky, what, 3 months? And then go back to where you were before. You go back to your previous cage.
Sure.
You go back to the life where you were disconnected. Well, I think that reinforces Bruce Alexander's argument that we need to think much more. He says, you know, in addiction we talk all the time about individual recovery. That has some value. We need to talk much more about social recovery. Something's gone wrong with us, not just as individuals, but as a group, and about ways of reconnecting. I think that's really important. That you're right, that just taking someone out of the cage and putting them back a short period later is an expensive waste of money.
Yes.
Rob. I'm sorry, at risk of oversimplifying it, it just makes perfect sense. If someone takes a block out of someone's life, you need to permanently replace it with another block, or it's just going to continue again. And again, at risk of oversimplifying, I want to ask you this. Based on what you've said, if someone is a genuinely happy person, can they become an addict?
Well, we don't need to speculate about this. The UN Office of Drug Control, who are the main drug war body in the world, right? Their slogan is, a drug-free world, we can do it. It tells you where they're coming from. Even they admitted something quite extraordinary. It was quite shocking to me, actually, a couple of years ago. They admitted that 90% of all currently illegal drug use is what they call non-problematic. Doesn't cause health problems, doesn't make you addicted, doesn't cause you to overdose. 90%, that's a pretty extraordinary number. Mm-hmm. And if you think about alcohol, we kind of know that, right?
Right. I think about it all the time, Johan.
I'm thinking about it now.
you go into a bar, right? You look around, you know that 90% of the people there are just relaxing after a day at work, they're chilling out, the alcohol is making their life a little bit better. You also know that there'll be some people there who are alcoholics, who have terrible problems and deserve compassion. But we know that the vast majority of alcohol users don't have a problem with their drug because they're not miserable, because they want to be present in their lives. One of the ways I would explain it is very simple, right? I've got here in front of me a can of Diet Pepsi. You guys have probably both got drinks in front of you, right? Forget
yeah. mm-hmm.
the drug laws for a minute. Totally legally, we could all have vodka in front of us right now, right?
Why not?
We could be getting drunk, right? You've probably got enough money. You could get drunk for the next month and you literally nonstop, and you wouldn't be homeless, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. You're not going to do that. The reason you're not going to do that, it's not because anyone's stopping you. It's because you want to be present in your life. You've got a job you love. You've got people you love. You've got bonds and relationships. If we want to bring addicts back to us, and this was the motive why I went into writing the book, although I ended up discovering a lot more things, you get there through strengthening your bonds with them, by making their lives places they want to be present in.
Hear, hear.
That's the absolute key to it. And it really shows the madness of the war on drugs. A Canadian doctor, Gabor Mate, said to me, if you wanted to design a system that would make addicts worse, you would design the system that we have now.
Wow.
We're talking with Johan Hari. He's got a book out that if you have anybody in your life, or even if you're interested in the subject like I was, Chasing the Scream, The First and Last Days of the War on Drugs, an absolutely incredible book. And his theories just caught my eye. I'm so glad we got a chance to chat with you. You talk about the human bonding, and you call social media or the internet a parody of connection. I love that term. Where we're all on Facebook here in the we're all on Twitter. We feel like we're connected, but you call that a parody. That's not real connection, in your opinion.
Yeah, if you ever have a crisis in your life, you'll notice it won't be like your Facebook friends who come and sit with you. It won't be your Twitter followers. It'll be like people you've actually had long face-to-face relationships with. There's this really interesting study that looked at the average number of close friends an American can call on in a crisis has been declining steadily since the 1950s, while the average amount of floor space in their homes has been steadily increasing. And I think that's a kind of metaphor for the choice we've made as a culture, right? We've traded friends for floor space. We've traded stuff for human connections. And we all know instinctively that that's, unless you're Donald Trump, we all know instinctively that's madness, right? No one is going to lie on their deathbed and go, what a great life I had. I can count this massive floor space I had in my home.
Right.
And yet the whole pressure of the culture is to think in those terms. If you're not constantly consuming, you're not a good American, you're not a good Brit, you're not a good citizen of our culture. And I think this is partly why I don't want to overstate this. There are many other ways human beings can be cut off from meaning, and people were even more cut off from meaning in Soviet Russia. And, you know, it's way too simplistic to say it's related to the economic system we have. But I do think the economic system we have is one way human beings can be unanchored from healthy human bonds and can end up fixating on things that don't make us happy. And it's one reason why we're so miserable. And our culture is so immersed in that often it makes us really miserable. And we think, well, why should I be miserable? I've got everything the culture tells me I should want, right? I've got the floor space. I've got the stuff. I'm spending the money. There must be something wrong with me if I'm still miserable and unhappy. Well, no, it's that's the system that tells you to value the wrong things.
We could go on for 3 hours. Before
sure.
I let you go, Johan, I want to ask you, how did you did a book tour. You've been to the States multiple times. How do you think your theories are playing here in the U.S.? How do you feel, or even in Britain as well?
I lived in the U.S. most of the time I was writing the book, and I love the U.S. and I love Americans. And I've been incredibly moved by the response from, it's sold incredibly well in the U.S., but also just the overwhelming response from ordinary Americans. I mean, I'll give you a couple of examples. The two that have most moved me in the last little while have been, one woman came up to me after an event I did in either D.C. or Baltimore and said, you know, my brother is an addict. I haven't seen him in 7 years. I read your book. I realized I should be angry with the drug war, not with him, and I'm taking him for lunch. And
that,
I felt really touched by that.
Is
one of the other ones was an addict who emailed me and said, yours is the first book I've read that didn't make me feel ashamed. And if I think about, think about people I love who've had and still have addiction problems, and it's incredibly moving to think that, you know, some people will connect with that, and it helps to give people a different story about what's happened to them or to the people that they love, and that, you know, this 100-year story of telling people they should be ashamed, they need to be punished, you know, there are people all over the world fighting for alternatives to that. And the places that have chosen the alternatives are seeing such amazing results. That to me was so moving. It was, you know, it was very dark going to these terrible places, whether it was what happens in Arizona or Ciudad Juarez or this transgender crack dealer in Brownsville, Brooklyn, who I got to know very well over 3 years and who's an extraordinary person whose story I tell in the book. But to then go from that, these kind of terrible tragedies, to places like Portugal and Switzerland and Uruguay, where they ended the drug war with incredible results, it was really moving, because to realize it's one thing to tell the stories of people resisting suffering, but to also go somewhere else and think, oh, wow, that none of that has to happen. You know, it's not that, of course, there will still be tragedies just as there are still alcoholics, even though we've ended alcohol prohibition, but so much of this misery and pain is completely unnecessary and is the product of a human-made system that we can choose to end if we want to. And that there's so many inspiring people fighting for that, and there have been all along. You know, one of the stories I tell in the book is the story of how Billie Holiday was stalked and killed by the maniac who launched the war on drugs, and how she resisted, and how at the very birth of the war on drugs, Billie Holiday saw everything that was going to go wrong with it and made this incredibly eloquent case against it. You know, to see that none of this had to happen. And we've now got a choice, right? The one thing you can say for the war on drugs and its defense is we've given it a fair shot, right? Yeah. We've spent 100 years, $1 trillion, you know, more than 1 million people in prison in the United States alone, 70,000 people dead in northern Mexico alone in the last 7 years. You know, we gave it our fair shot, right? We tried that way. There are other ways we can try now, and there's evidence they work much better.
Johan, absolutely brilliant, brilliant interview, and a delight to have you on the show. The book is Chasing the Scream, The First and Last Days of the War on Drugs. Wonderful book. And Johan Hari, congratulations. Really yeah. great stuff and an honor having you on the show.
Thank you,
and if you get to D.C., come to our studio. We'd love to talk to you in person.
I will definitely. I'll just put a plug as well. That if anyone wants any more information, then go to the website, www.chasingthescream.com, and there's loads of more information. You can take a quiz about what you've talked about and various bits and pieces.
Perfect.
Fabulous. Thanks so Thank much, you. Johan. Great
Thanks
talking
again.
To you.
Thanks again. Cheers. That's have a great. Good day.
That's
Bye.
Good stuff. Wow. You know, the interview is good for me as I was reading the article. And
cool, right?
For those, anybody that's been around people that have addiction, that's you know, that's something we decided to put our serious hats on for
let's
a while.
Let's get the vodka.
Good to let's get the vodka out right now. Yes, Rob, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell Oscar, Billie Holiday was a singer.
I knew that.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
So from now on, you guys can no longer say these hateful words. Chubby, chunky, blobbo, slobbo, fat bastard, Michelin man, stay puffed, chumbawamba. It is balloon! Papa Grande, Augustus Gloop, beached whale, big boned, Wisconsin skinny, butterball, dump truck, jelly belly, pudgy wudgy, lard ass, blubberino, Buddha belly, hurry eat Tubman, one ton soup, Blob Saget, Chub Hub, Calvin Cool Whip, Manfred Man Boobs, 21 Lump Street, walking before picture, Fatso, Harvey Milk Chocolate, Obese Want Cannoli, Mahatma Gumbo, Salvador Deli, Elmer Pantry, KFC in the Sponge Cake Band, Snacky Onassis, The Foodie Blues, Hoagie Carmichael, and Wide Load.
What about Mr. Two Belts?
Good, good. By which I mean bad, bad.
You know, as long as we're opening this up, and I'm glad you are, I want to tell you guys that when you call me a gargoyle, a troll, or a homunculus, it kind of hurts my feelings.
What? You're kidding.
We never dreamed.
Who knew goblins had feelings? You see, that's what I'm talking about.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Coming to you live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. On the air and online worldwide, the Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Our show today is brought to you by Grays.com. We love Grays.com. You're going to love it too. I really, 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 really want you to check out Grays.com because this is healthy snacking and it is delicious snacking. Grays.com can show you the healthy side of snacking and you can try it for free if you use the code TMOS. Healthy snacking is not easy to do. Grays.com is a snack service. Not only do they deliver tasty and nutritious snacks right to your home or office, but the snacks are perfectly proportioned packs that are perfect for when you're on the go, and they're healthy.
Yes.
You can stay healthy and eat these snacks. 100 unique snack creations. There's always something new and different to try. How about campfire s'mores made with chocolate, salted almond buttons, vanilla cookies, drops, and marshmallows.
Nice.
Vanilla cookie drops and marshmallows, only 130. Now, it's written here, vanilla cookies drops.
Vanilla cookie drops. I'm sorry.
Vanilla cookie drops.
Singular. Thank you.
I've got a strawberry chocolate cheesecake, and it is fabulous. 120 calories. It just came yesterday. It's absolutely
nice.
Awesome.
the cool thing about this, when we're talking about Graze.com, is that we are saying, you know, we're talking about strawberry and chocolate, and at the same time, we're mentioning calories that are in the 100s.
Yeah.
Every delivery is a personalized healthy snack box, customized to your taste preferences. Yum, yum, yum. Plus, each snack in your box is approved by Graze.com's nutritionist, and it contains no GMOs, no artificial flavors, and no trans fats. You can feel good about what you're snacking on. I want you to go to Graze.com, that's G-R-A-Z-E.com, right now, and get a free trial box that includes four of the snacks we were talking about. They're top-rated and most delicious snacks. And remember to use our special code TMOS. Do it this weekend. You'll help the show, and you will help Graze.com make you a healthier snacker. Graze.com and the code TMOS for your free box of snacks. Do that today. Thank you for indulging me, fellas and listeners. We appreciate that.
Fascinating talk.
Really great guy.
And you know what? It is. It's always fascinating to me when you can put stuff in a historical perspective, and he draws great parallels. I am no great marijuana enthusiast, but when you draw the parallels between that and the prohibition, it just seems to make perfect sense, and I don't know why it's not advancing faster.
Well, let's talk to the guy that wasn't sold on this before. He had an awful lot to say, and he concentrated it in a lot. You know, I know you like to pick up these books once in a while.
Yeah.
I would recommend. I just started it, and you know, I read the article, and then I started the book.
I got the book 2 days ago. I just ordered it, Mike.
It really is. I love when something's a totally different perspective. And that's, you know, everybody ultimately, there are people out there probably that have had a lot more experience with addicts than I have. But ultimately, people have to make their own decisions. But it's certainly the thing that resonated with me at the very, very end when he said, we've certainly given it a real good shot.
True enough.
With the war on drugs. And then he mentions the murders down in Mexico, and I think about, you know, if it could be less death and destruction and misery and all that, maybe it's worth a shot.
What really opened my eyes is, and I know we've addressed this question in the past and at length, and we've had answers before.
Right.
But, Mike, why are you so unhappy?
You know what? That's a good question. It's my cage.
Yeah,
it's my cage.
What if we put you in a room with a lot of rats? Do you think?
You know, though.
Do you think it would help? We could call it Mike. What do you call it? Rat Heaven?
Yeah.
That would be Mike Heaven. Rat Park. Mike Park.
Well, my philosophy.
Mike Park.
Mike Park.
Yeah. It's a skate park at night.
Mike Park. I'm in Mike Park.
It's beautiful. No. It has IPAs, roulette wheels. It's Mike Park.
Would you like a really serious answer to that question?
Sure.
As I think about, I ultimately, this is the way I really feel about it. I love going out and having a bunch of cocktails. But when I do, ultimately, it's just not as much fun the next day. And I like my cage. I like my job. I love my family. And when I do this, it makes me less happy, especially you guys were an eyewitness to that when it came to, you know, doing some gambling there. And I think sometimes I always talked about this with my golf swing. The game comes very hard to me. It takes a lot of instruction, a lot of me watching video to figure out exactly how to work that swing. When I get it, it's great, but it takes me a long time. I think that's the same way in life. And I think at 56 years of age, I go on and I go on and I go on. And Oscar, you talked about me. Hey, you're saying the same things you always said. But I know in my heart that ultimately these things that I do, a person I talked to, a professional person I talked to years ago, called it self-hypnosis. When I'm sitting in front of a slot machine and I'm just departing the world for a while and all of my pressures, I think that ultimately when I talk about my cage, I think my cage is similar to all of our cages. And I think when we talk about the cage that we live in, let me just finish this. It's the cage of the society we live in, the pressures that we have to make sure everything's taken care of, to make sure we have the things that we need.
The floor space, Mike.
The floor space.
Yeah.
And I think I'm probably like a lot of you out there that go to sleep at night with a wife and a kid and two other kids and sit there and say to myself, am I going to be okay? Am I going to take care of it? Am I going to make sure that I get the job done? We have business meetings all the time. We talk about that. And those pressures are rather significant for every working person in the country, unless you're, you know, somebody who's a Vanderbilt and, you know, you don't have to worry about those things. And I think that's the cage. And yeah. I think if you're talking about what I think about that makes me unhappy, that would be the answer. That'd be the long answer, but that would be the way I'd look at it. And I think I'm like millions of Americans that feel the exact same way.
And you're always chasing, and you want it to be better. And sometimes, you know, if you have a few beers or whatever, or you pull the handle on the slot machine.
Or a turkey leg.
Yeah, you think a smoked turkey leg, always delicious, and why stop at one? Because
hey, or a Jack and Coke.
Even that's
I've
right.
I've been doing pretty good lately.
You're immune for this. The man with no compassion says he's immune from it. Or is that
I'm
what it
actually
is?
In control right now.
That's great.
I'm pretty happy about it. Though I will say this: I do worry about things like people signing up for Graze.com. If you're out there and you've been thinking about it, it's time to do so.
But what
and
is
Oscar,
it?
Oscar's totally in control. So, if you get that free Ambien, let me know where you get it. Okay.
In this area, and we've had conversations at length about it. In this area, it's that constant. What I don't have. What should I have? Do I need a bigger place? Do I need a bigger house? Should I move to the suburbs? Do I need a bigger yard? Do I need a townhouse? Am I going to pay $800,000 for a townhouse?
Right.
And in my eyes, the one thing that's kept me kind of sane, thank God, is the fact that I still live in this crummy little condo and I'm not moving out anytime soon.
Well, that is actually, you've just answered the question. And I think really when I downsized and I went down to Florida and I live, you know, I don't live in a double wide, but I don't live in, an illustrious place.
Right.
And I was able to downsize. The fact is that I think we get obsessed with that. And maybe that's the cage that we're all living in to a certain extent. That's what I was talking about.
You also tend to build your own cage. You know,
The thing I worry about when you talk about, you know, why aren't you more happy? How's that? Is that good, Chow?
Don't be annoyed with me eating a grape while you're talking. Listening.
What it is, Mike?
It's the most professional move a broadcaster can make.
Mike,
yes,
that is
go ahead.
That is a grape of control. He's
don't
fine.
Be jealous.
What is he eating, Rob? Just out of curiosity.
It looks like a fruit salad. I think he got it from Whole Foods because it cost $17.
That's because he's so in control.
Solid CVS.
Solid CVS purchase. Fruit salad.
Always classy.
Yum.
Well, it's great having that author on. We will get back to another major, major news story of the day. Whole Foods, what the F? We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Tony Perkins.
And I'm Gary Stein, live from the Chateau Marmont in Hollywood.
Yes, actually, Gary tells a great, amazing story about a celebrity encounter involving that hotel that you're really going to want to hear.
Don't oversell it.
I'm not overselling it, but it's great.
Maybe it's not that good.
Perhaps more significantly, Gary reveals the most awkward kiss he's ever had.
Oh, boy. Dangerous kiss.
Be sure to subscribe to The Tony Perkins Show on iTunes.
The Tony Perkins Show.
The most awkward kiss. I'll just tell you something, Gary. I enjoyed it.
You know,
but anyway.
You know how to make a man feel
nice.
Better.
That's right. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by FanDuel.com. So, Mr. Big Shot.
Yes.
You've heard me talk about FanDuel all season long. What are you waiting for? You deserve more fantasy in your life.
Hey.
Yes. So get over to FanDuel.com and sign up now. FanDuel.com is the leader in one-day fantasy sports leagues with immediate cash payouts and entry fees that start at just $1. There is no season-long commitment. You can do it one night, take four nights off, then do it another night. Do it as much as you want or as little as you want. No upfront fees. You can pick a new team any day you want. Play any day, anytime, all summer long. Come aboard and join the over 1 million FanDuelers that have already won money playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Don't wait until football is starting. You should get your fantasy fix now. Get in on the action tonight and go to FanDuel.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code TMOS and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the code TMOS. Just remember to enter TMOS at FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season, and do it now. Big, big story breaking today, yesterday actually, was the story about Whole Foods. We've all called it. I've called it Whole Paychecks for as long as
hey,
the store
Mike,
has been
how about
existing.
A Whole Foods? Am I right, ladies?
The New York Daily News reports that New York City's Department of Consumer Affairs has opened a probe into a laundry list of pricing violations going back to at least 2010, mainly dealing with mislabeling prepackaged food products with incorrect weights. An agency spokesperson, this is in New York, by the way, not nationwide, they said that when the investigators weighed 80 different items at 8 different locations, every single one of the labels were found to be incorrect.
Wow.
Usually overcharging the customer. And apparently, from what I've read about this, that there are other examples where they have put tax on items that didn't have to be taxed, and maybe they're putting that in their pockets.
Man.
This is a big deal. And I tell you, this is a result, I think, of people, you walk into Whole Foods, you accept the fact that you're going to be charged a fortune for things that you would pay a better price point everywhere else. It's a pretty amazing story, and if it goes all the way up to the top, this could be big.
Oh, they've had their thumb on the scale now for a long time. But the thing is, that's so weird, is the consistency. 80 products,
yeah,
and all of them?
Seems to me to be somebody's telling them to do it.
Who addresses, and you would know better, Rob, because of your days in the grocery game.
Mike, for anyone who just might be joining us.
I love it when Oscar says the grocery game.
I spent years in the grocery game, but I was forced out. Game. Mike, I was forced out by Big Grocery. And when the business got ugly and they said, you know what, Spiewak knows too much, he's out of here.
I thought you were Big Grocery, though. And Safeway, Big Grocery, even back
Mike,
when
I was
working.
I was the biggest grocery.
Biggest grocery.
Who dictates grocery. And who is labeling the items that need to be weighed?
Well, it goes by department.
Okay.
I mean, like, if you buy meat, the meat is weighed, and then it is labeled by that way. Produce, you weigh yourself by the on the big Toledo scale, which says, Mike, not legal for trade, only estimation. And then it will be...
That's great insight. I love that.
And then it will be officially weighed when you go through the line. And there's little things that lazy checkers will probably do. Do you know what a tare weight is?
No, what's a tare weight?
A tare weight, T-A-R-E. The tare weight is they allow for the weight of the plastic bag when they calibrate the scale. So if you put, you know, tomatoes in a bag, I mean, the bag is almost inconsequential,
right,
but they allow for it. So you're only paying for tomatoes.
What's interesting about what you say is that tells you the level of precision
we're
talking about, which means that they did this with 80 items. You know, they knew exactly
what
they're
doing. As a matter of fact, when I was at Safeway, I'm sure it's more advanced now. You would do one tare allowance if something was weighed without a bag. There was a separate tare allowance for each size box that you would get at the salad bar.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, the big box and the little box, they know how much they weigh. So you allow for that.
Yes.
And when I was in Little Vegetable, not Big Grocery, I did a vegetable stand when I was young, like 10 or 11.
Right.
And that was that we got hit by weights and measures. Even roadside vegetable stands would get hit for making sure their scales were calibrated and stuff like that.
So, this is a big deal.
Oh, it's
huge.
This
is a really big deal. And the thing about it is Whole Foods in New York hit with more than 800 violations. In a statement, the company rep said, denied the charges and said Whole Foods was vigorously defending ourselves. Around this time last year, Whole Foods was forced to shell out $800,000 to the municipal governments of Santa Monica, Los Angeles, and San Diego for similar violations in its California stores. And I mention that because if this investigation goes up the food chain,
so to speak.
If you've got to, if this goes up, you would have, it just would seem to me, you've got them on the West Coast, got them on the East Coast.
Yeah.
You just don't have the coincidence that there are a bunch of unscrupulous dicks working and managing these particular stores. This goes higher than that.
No, this follow the money. This smells like corporate.
Absolutely smells like corporate.
It absolutely does.
Wouldn't it, I would say this. It's a leap to say it's corporate, just in my eyes, simply because if it's...
A lot of miles between those stores, though.
I would say that you could have a manager, a regional manager, right?
Yes.
That has benchmarks he needs to meet, dollar-wise.
That's true. That's true. Absolutely.
So it would make more sense for the regional manager to go to his managers and say, this is what we're going to do to hit these benchmarks.
But the benchmarks are set, perhaps, by corporate.
Yes.
I would think there may be a cultural situation
within
the company where the pressure is
so
significant.
High. So high.
And that's just amazing.
It's such a great environment. If you're shopping at, to cite something from the show, The Middle, if you shop at the Frugal Hoosier, you're going to notice if the fruit salad is a quarter more than it was last week.
Right.
But if you're going to Whole Paycheck, You're not going to notice if you're paying 27 for steaks or 29.
But getting back to the whole thing with New York City, think about, and you know, when
the New York
LA,
environment too, in
Santa
LA.
Monica, that kind of world, you're going where I don't pay attention.
Well,
to the
you
price
know
of my
things
squash.
Are going to cost more, so you
know,
kind of,
and you don't give a rat's ass. Like, that's you're ripe for being taken advantage of. If you roll up to the Hannaford in Ellsworth, let me tell you something. if that zucchini is 0.1 cent more, you're going to have the old lady that lives on the the street on the corner. She's going to go up there and bitch about it. That's going to happen. They said one item costs $4.85 more than its correct price.
I tried to shop when I first moved to the Glover Park area at Whole Foods.
Right. You got one right down the street.
Yeah, we do. It's a building that's it's on Wisconsin Avenue. It's solid gold.
It just didn't make sense because I just couldn't wrap my mind around half the things they were selling and also half the things that they say cost so much. And
are you back to the social Safeway now?
I just go back to the Safeway. And even there, to be fair, I'm not educated enough to know this is what this should cost, right?
But I just don't know.
And it's not because I can't find out. I could find out if I wanted to, but I sit there and I'm like, well, I guess this is how much things cost.
Right.
And Mike, you know, Incredible. It goes back to something that we've said for years, which is how much is something worth? Something is worth exactly how much someone will pay for it.
And if you don't pay attention to it and you accept it, you're going to probably get your ass burned.
This past Saturday, our friend Dominique was in town from New York and he and his son were out at the park and he said, come on, hang out. So we went down to the park and we hung out and his son scraped his knee. And he's like, oh, man, I got to go home. And I was like, no, I'll just go to I'll go to that Whole Foods and get you some Band-Aids. And as I'm running over to the Whole Foods to get him some Band-Aids, I know that I should just spread my ass cheeks because I'm going to take one right in the exit sign, right?
Your $18.95 box of Band-Aids.
So I run up there, and I had my card with me, and I said, hey, I just need some Band-Aids. Probably only needed two.
Sure.
Maybe two, right?
Sure.
Right, exactly.
And I didn't want to do the old Chris Rock bit, where can I get eight ribs and some soda.
They don't usually sell Band-Aids singular.
Plus, I'm in my hand for a dime.
So, the guy looked at me. I was like, do you have a smaller packet than this $15 pack of Band-Aids? And they're probably organic, and I don't care.
What it was, Mike, they were made of beautiful 280-count Egyptian muslin.
And I remember running back, and I said, well, I just bought us lunch. Here's some Band-Aids.
Save it. Save this Band-Aid. Yeah.
Well, to be continued, we'll see where this ends. Look, I don't trust big food.
No.
I really don't trust big food. We'll have to wait and see where this shakes loose. It might go away, might not. We'll keep you posted. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I love talking about prices because we can tell you about a company that does you right with prices. Harry's.
Oh,
buying new razors, you hate it. We know you hate it. It's never top of mind. Luckily, you don't have to try to use that last blade one more time or rush out to the drugstore, and your prices are going to please you thanks to Harry's. Harry's takes the guesswork out of shaving. They send blades direct to your door based on how often you shave, and even better, Harry's is giving new customers an additional $5 off their first monthly subscription with the coupon code TMOS. You know it. You love it. We want you to use it. The Harry's Shave Plan ships high-quality razors straight to your door for as little as $3 a month, and deliveries are customized to your shaving routine, so you never run out of blades, you're always ready, and you never have to pay those ridiculous drugstore prices. Plus, if you suddenly want to grow a beard, it's all good. You can modify or cancel your plan at any time. Harry's has such confidence in their German-engineered blades that there is a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and your first shave plan order includes a free handle. Righteous, dude. Start your Harry's monthly plan today. Start your subscription and never worry about buying blades again. Never. Special offer to new customers. Get your free razor and save $5 off your first subscription with the code TMOS at checkout. That's HARRYS.com and the code TMOS and start shaving better today.
All right, welcome back to the show. You'll be getting some blades soon, Mr. Scholarship winner.
Oscar's going to hate this next segment, but we have to, you know, it's summertime. You know, it's that time of year where we actually have to really get our food on a little bit.
Yes.
I'm not eating as much of it. And by the way, Carla made me pancakes this morning. and she made them without any flour. She made them with banana.
Oh,
these super ultra low fat.
So there's
low
no grain
calorie.
Or anything in it?
There's nothing in it. It was just, but it's egg and banana. That's what's in there, and they were
wow.
amazing. You know what I'll do? I'll post the recipe up on the
Please
website
do.
For those of you that
you know,
want to do that.
You know, it's a shame we couldn't watch you cook them, Mr. Herzog.
Yes. I'll do it today, the cooking segment we have on the show. The Minnesota State Fair. One thing I know about Midwestern people,
right.
they like to get their eat on. We found that out when we went out to mm-hmm. Iowa. The August 27th through Labor Day is the Minnesota State Fair.
Because, Mike, it is summertime.
Here we go, babe. How you doing? Summertime. Hello, Minnesota State Fair goers. How are you?
Summertime.
They have new foods for 2015.
A fair, by the way, and I know that I'm a food snob.
Yes.
By that, I don't eat that much of it. But I love the fair as a child and as a young adult because it's the best place to find just these wonderful treats that you could never find anywhere else throughout the year.
But you wouldn't overindulge even back then because you, Oscar Santana, are in control.
Thank you, Mike.
Always.
Appreciate
now,
it.
What are the state fairs like in Bolivia?
Oh, we didn't have them there. They're more of a revolution.
It was called Fair de Paz,
yes,
right?
Let me read the protests and firearms.
Let me read you the press release. The Minnesota State Fair.
Oh, sure. Time to eat, you know.
Is pleased to announce the addition of not one, not two, 40 new foods.
What?
And 11 new frozen treats to the expansive menu offered at the Great Minnesota Get-Together.
Now, that is fantastic. I would think that might be the name of the whole fair, Mike. The Great Minnesota Get-Together.
In total, the state fair will offer nearly 500 foods at 300 different concession locations throughout the fairgrounds. The following is a list of the new foods, and, well, let's see how many we can get through, shall we?
You know, it's always really shocked and delighted me that they pair these kind of foods we're about to hear about with
right.
thrill rides.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
It seems like a bad coupling.
Mandatory vomiting.
Exactly.
I think that's what it really is.
Exactly.
Okay, the buffaloed bones, they're ribs. That's no big deal. St.
All
Louis
right.
style spare ribs, that doesn't do anything for me. The burger dog. Now I'm
encouraged cool.
too.
I saw this on the news. It looks phenomenal.
It sounds like a cartoon character.
Okay, here it is. The burger dog is a ground blend, and Rob, you're going to have to provide the fart sound effects.
Okay, I can do that.
I'm in my computer on
I
this.
I can do it.
A ground blend of hamburger, hot dog, bacon, cheese, and a splash of jalapeno. Yes, sir. On a hot dog. Don't do it with your mouth. It's at, if you're going to the fair, it's at Gas Station Grill.
Oh, yeah, I bet
Thank
it
you
is.
Very much. Located on the southeast corner of the food building off Cooper Street.
Nice.
I'm not going to get into the butter chicken samosas. That we all know what samosas are, right? I mean,
what are samosas?
Samosas are pastries filled with chicken. You know what a samosa is. Doesn't your mom make samosas?
Oh, she brought a suitcase of them with her when she emigrated.
No, I've
I thought your mom
them.
Made samosas.
No, that's an Indian food.
Yeah.
I'm Bolivian. All brown people aren't the same.
There's a difference.
Wait a minute. Are they? Oh, they are Indian. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I Boy, Mike, apologize. How racially insensitive. You know, he was so upset he almost lost control.
I almost did.
Almost.
Pastries filled with chicken in a tomato curry sauce and served with a side of green chutney.
Oh, the green chutney is what will get you
Your
every time.
Your mom makes them.
No. All right, cannoli, that's
Your
it.
Your mom makes them.
Chilled bread pudding, I'm not interested. Cowboy bites. Sweet corn kernels, bacon, jalapenos, and cream cheese blended into bite-sized balls. Thank
oh,
you.
Yum.
Cowboy Dave's Chuck and Moo. Wait, Whoa. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Cowboy Dave's Cluck and Moo. Now we're talking. That is smashed potatoes, roast beef, and grilled chicken covered with beef gravy, crispy onions, and mustard barbecue sauce.
Oh, my God. And you're eating this in the heat outside?
Yeah, it's at the Blue Barn, Rob, if you want to go to the fair.
Hey, Mike, shelter. It's at the Blue Barn.
Oh, here we are. Wait, hold on. Yeah. I would try this.
All right.
I would try. Ladies and gentlemen, I have my first food that is really intriguing.
Yeah.
Deep fried ribs.
Oh, I'm in.
Hello.
I'm so in. That sounds
Smoked baby back ribs. breaded and fried and served with barbecue sauce.
Oh, it's nice that the sauce is on the side, so that way it doesn't burn when it's deep fried, Mike.
That's a Ballpark Cafe, located on the east side of Underwood Street. Thank you.
Boy, you know, it's amazing. Food undergoes amazing transformations when it's deep fried, Mike. Take an Oreo, for example.
Have you boys ever gotten a chance to meet Grandma Deb?
Grandma Deb? No, I'm not. I'm not.
You haven't met Grandma Deb?
No.
She's wonderful, and she's putting a salad in the fair.
Oh, that'll be nice to balance things out.
Isn't it nice to have something that's healthy? Yeah. It's Grandma Deb's Snicker Bar Salad.
What the hell?
Thank you. Pony, dive into this. This is Grandma Deb's Snicker Bar Salad, chopped Snickers bars, and Granny Smith apples tossed in vanilla pudding.
How that the hell can you call this a salad?
Sounds good to me.
It does sound good to me. Tossed in vanilla pudding with whipped cream and drizzled with caramel sauce.
Oh, Mike, it's also known by its other name, diabetic sludge.
She calls it a salad. It's not really a salad, don't you know? Yes, sir. You can get that.
Maybe it's a salad like a chicken salad. Maybe it makes a good sandwich.
Yum, yum. And, of course, drizzle anything with the caramel sauce. That's at the Blue Barn.
The Blue Barn, of course it is.
Maybe they have some fruit. play that one again. Honey, where you been? Honey, where you been? I just went to the Blue Barn.
Oh, you were at the Blue Barn?
No, there it is. Thank you, Marie.
I'm sorry, Mike. They're in a montage format. So it sort of catches.
See, that's the problem. They shouldn't be in a montage format.
I know, but
your fingertips like that.
I've never been called upon to provide the farts before.
Let me see. Hot tail. Hot tail.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
That's roasted, in the adult section.
Roasted pigtail coated in scallion ginger sauce.
Mm. I'm not the pigtail guy.
All right. Island slaw. That's like regular. What is it? Sriracha.
You love sriracha. That's the sauce with the chicken on it.
Yeah, I never know how to pronounce it. That's all over the place. Oh, here we go. Sriracha. Italian dessert nachos.
Italian? What is it? Sauce?
Cinnamon sugar cannoli chips smothered with sweet ricotta cheese filled in fruit, chocolate, nuts, and candy toppings. That's at the pizza shop.
Of course, because Mike is genuine Italian food.
That's at the pizza shop located in the food building on the south side.
Hey, do they have any fruit fritters?
Oh, this is gross. I'm sorry. This looks gross. I'm not a kimchi person. Do you guys like kimchi?
Oh, I love it.
I do.
Not a big fan.
Wait a minute, Pony. You like kimchi?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm a Korean food guy. Yeah. Big time.
He's like also an anime.
I like it.
That's right.
Maybe you would like this. It's kimchi and curry, and it's in quotation marks. kimchi and curry poutine. It's braised pork and potatoes smothered with curry gravy and cheddar cheese, then topped with kimchi and a poached egg. And then get the diarrhea train on the tracks, because that's going to happen.
You might not remember, but Pony is such a kimchi aficionado that he will seek out restaurants that are far away to go get the right kimchi.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
it's
fermented cabbage,
it's
right,
rotten
Pony?
Cabbage, yeah.
Fermented. It's not rotten.
Yeah, it smells. You don't go into a restaurant and say, something smells fermented in here.
You don't get bourbon and ask for rotten corn juice. I mean,
I do. I do every time. Yeah,
hey, here's something for my people. Now, all this Korean talk makes me long for the Irish. Limerick sticks.
Limerick sticks?
Limerick sticks.
Mike?
I'm going to the Minnesota Fair, I swear to God.
Can you please describe for us the limerick stick?
It's a blend of pimento cheese and cayenne pepper coated in a cornmeal mix, deep fried, and served with custom dipping sauce.
Those are cheese sticks, right?
There once
They're
was a man
sticks.
Named Reese who was clinically over obese.
Limerick sticks are basically cheese sticks with pimento cheese and pepper.
Because, Mike, when you think the Irish, you think pimento cheese.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is something you can take on the rides with you.
Okay.
Mac and cheese cupcake. Mac and cheese. mac and cheese nestled in a breadcrumb crust, then sprinkled with breadcrumbs and frosted with a dollop of cheese
whiz. That doesn't sound too bad.
That sounds great. You know, one of my favorite things is, if you can ever find it in a restaurant, is fried macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. And good for you.
You've got the Bangor State Fair coming up on July 31st.
It would be the main state fair in Bangor, I guess, because Bangor hasn't seceded from the Union yet, have they?
They call it Bangor State Fair, though.
Do they?
That's what they call it.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm on the site right now. It's something you could go to.
Do you think they'll have any of these marvelous Minnesota treats there, though?
They have your typical 1992 website with the slider that slides all the pictures of everything that's going along. And I want to say at least 54%, and I'm saying that because I've only seen 10 of them yet, and half of them have been food pictures. So you're good to go.
That's what people go to the fair
for. I hope Aunt Deb makes the trip over to Maine and brings some of that
salad. Hey, I found something healthy. A salad named Sue. S-O-O. Salad named Sue. Cubed watermelon. Basil, mint, arugula, and almonds mixed with a chili honey lime sauce. That might be about
that's
as
actually pretty good.
And it's named after
it
actor Jack Sue, Mike, from Jack Barney Sue. Miller.
Hey. How you doing, Barney? Jack Sue. Yes, sirree. Do you know what I played my kid yesterday on YouTube?
What?
Don Ho singing Tiny Bubbles.
Why did you do
riveted.
This?
Because I don't know. Because I think I still had alcohol coursing through my
veins. No, that can't be right.
How was the reaction?
He loves music. He's totally into music. And, I love Michael, come over here. Want to play you something really wonderful. Here's the song stylings of Don Ho from the Hawaiian Islands.
Tiny bubbles.
Thank you.
And then he went up to Mommy and said his first sentence, make it stop.
All right, let me see. I'm going through steak a pizziola, sriracha dog.
What's a steak pizziola?
Steak a pizziola, cuts of Italian steak, sautéed in au jus, and served on a seasoned Kaiser bun with caramelized onions, ooh, melted cheese, and marinara sauce. Mm. Yum, yum, yum. You can find that, Oscar, at Spaghetti. You can find that at Spaghetti Eddie's, located on the east side of Cooper Street.
And Mike, you know,
south of Dan Patch Avenue.
I was so glad that Johan Hari joined us today last minute when Spaghetti Eddie canceled.
That's right.
Because we had him booked.
How is this a great show or what? You have an incredible journalist on talking about the serious business of the war on drugs, and then we're sitting here talking about Spaghetti Eddie's on the east side of Cooper Street, franchise south of Dan Patch Avenue.
Sounds to me like Cooper Street's the place to go if you want a bite to eat.
All right, hold on. Tachos. Rob Spiewak. Yes. Tachos. Tachos are tater tots smothered in cheddar cheese with seasoned sour cream, bacon bits, and green onions, gluten-free at the Boulevard Grill.
That sounds so good. I wonder how they season the sour cream.
It's delicious. Now, we only had a couple of dessert items. Would you like to hear the frozen treats?
Please.
Sure.
Here we go. Barbecue pickle ice cream.
Ugh, I don't like savory ice creams.
Vanilla ice cream infused with alien. Yeah, there are a lot of people in the country who probably don't even know savory. Yeah. They don't even know. What's that mean? Not sweet? vanilla ice cream infused with a light barbecue sauce. Oh. And diced pickles. That's an R&R ice cream.
Yeah.
All right. We've got the butter.
You know what a great savory ice cream is? Is that place you like so bad in Bar Harbor? They have that lobster ice cream that they're very famous for.
Can you clarify savory for the people?
Savory
that
is like the opposite of sweet.
Okay.
Like if you were to go to a restaurant that served crepes, there would be sweet crepes like Crepe Suzette, and then savory crepes that might have like a cheese or an asparagus in them.
Okay.
All right? Does that make sense?
Salted.
So
this looks
not
really
like ice
yummy.
Cream, basically. Not your typical ice cream.
No, ice cream is typically sweet.
Okay. This is something where I go off into the corner and I wouldn't even allow my family to have a bite of this. Salted caramel puff malts and sundaes. Vanilla ice cream topped with caramel sauce and finished with salty, crunchy puff corn.
Now that is worth a flight. That's worth flying there for.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, when you're at the Minnesota State Fair, check out State Fart. Check out Sarah's Tipsy Pies. Serving made from scratch hand pies with local ingredients, beers, and liquors. Okay, so
Mike, do you think they do a lot of stuff up there from scratch, if you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and the doo-wop dip, strawberry ice cream with real strawberries in a croissant dipped in chocolate and drizzled with white chocolate. Thank you very much.
Oh, bring it.
That's the doo-wop dip. So get yourself out to the fabulous Minnesota State Fair, and I'll be out there as well. Yeah, coming
Spaghetti
the end
Eddie's.
Of the summer. Should be a lot of fun. They're already talking about their food, and it's not even July 4th yet. God love them. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Michael Mayer Show.
I don't know what's going to happen to you, baby.
Hey, if you guys would love to see us, Rob and Joe, perform stand-up comedy, we have a great deal for you.
That's right. Go to the Rob and Joe Show webpage, robandjoeshow.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner.
And type in the promo code Mermelstein. We'll see you soon. robandjoeshow.com. the TMOS app, and, of course, subscribe on iTunes.
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. How many couples do you know that agree on everything? How about zero, zed, bagel, nada, niente? There is one thing that Carla and I always agree on, our Sleep Number bed. You see, Sleep Number created a bed that allows couples to choose their individual comfort on each side of the bed. And that's and it also, I should point this out.
Yeah.
When I'm using my Sleep Number bed with Carla in it, I tend to toss and turn a bit, and so does she. When you have dual air technology on your mattress, you do not feel the other person doing
that's
it because
cool.
You've got a separate platform. So if you've got a tosser and a turner and somebody that is, you know, shaking around, I used to seriously give Carla this little thrill ride. Well, that doesn't sound good. But, I mean, she would bounce up and down on the bed when I would be tossing and turning, and it doesn't happen with a Sleep Number bed because you've got your own dual-air technology
that
adjusts your side, and it doesn't happen on that bed.
That's so cool.
Anybody that you know has a spouse that's complaining about the fact that, hey, you're bouncing me all over the place. No, the fact is, with Sleep Number beds, that doesn't happen. They were named Best Bed for Couples by a leading consumer magazine, and only Sleep Number beds have the dual-air technology to allow you to adjust the support that your body needs. My Sleep Number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65. Come in right now during the lowest prices of the season and save $400 on the final closeout of a queen or king Sleep Number C4 mattress set. No better sleep? Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. You can find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget, tug your earlobe. Sorry, trying to read that quickly.
Elbow be fun.
Elbow's good.
Tug your earlobe and tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. Thank you. Hold on just a second. There we are. Thank you.
There we go.
God.
Who's hiding?
God almighty. Kim Kardashian was sleeping in her hotel room in France. When she was awakened. It says awoken in the story. That's not correct.
No,
awakened.
I don't think awakened is ever appropriate. I don't think that's a word.
Well, it's awoken without the
awoken
ED.
Feels weird to say.
Yeah.
Right?
She was awakened.
Yeah, awakened.
She was awakened by a drunk, naked woman pounding on her door.
Whoa.
Yeah, she was.
That's quite a fantasy.
It was 4 in the morning, and apparently the woman thought it was her room. Kim says, quote,
banging and kicking, and I couldn't go back to sleep afterwards, and she was naked.
I smell a total rat.
Yeah, and it's going to be on
I smell a total rat.
And they're going to have to blur her out, and I'm going to watch.
Crap.
Yeah.
It's crap, right?
I mean, absolutely. In Venice.
You don't have...
They're
don't
between
have, like,
seasons on Keeping Up, right?
Yeah, but they're probably filming, you know, every season when they come back, they show what they've been doing.
Sure,
what
right.
they've done.
This
recap.
Is constructed, yeah. And they do it in a foreign country, so it can't really be vetted.
So she screamed profanities at her and told her to put some clothes on and get off my door, but she kept using her Amex car as the key. She's on the other side of a door. If she's on the other side of a door, how would you know what she was using? Even if you're looking through the peephole, you wouldn't be able to see what she was doing.
Because, Mike, they set up cameras outside when they knew the lady was coming, and she watched the video.
It's got to be security.
I think it's BS.
Someone like that doesn't just stay in like a hotel room with no security.
Oh, here we go. Kim ended up having to call security. She says she even took video but decided not to post it.
Ah, Kim.
Kim was in France for the Cannes Lions International Festival, the Cannes Lions International. The Lions International Festivity of Creativity. The Festival of Creativity, or whatever.
Oh, Mike, she should be there. She's very creative.
It's an industry trade show that basically you're pushing your wares and goods entertainment-wise.
Oh, okay.
So Twitter's there.
How do you know?
Google's there.
Yeah, I know why you know that, because you're in control.
That's right. He's like Bobby, Janet Jackson, right?
Double challenge.
Bobby Christina Brown has been moved to hospice care, and it sounds like her family's preparing for the worst. Her aunt, Pat Houston, issued a statement saying, quote, despite the great medical care at numerous facilities, Bobby Christina Brown's condition has continued to deteriorate. As of today, she has been moved into hospice. We thank everyone for their support and prayer. She's in God's hands now, so that does not sound good. Her father, Bobby Brown, would have also been in on this decision since he and Pat are co-guardians. Bobby Christina has been hospitalized since she was found face down and unresponsive in a bathtub at her home in the Atlanta area on January 31st. So
nothing sadder than hospice care. It's just the most depressing thing.
Since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I've always believed there's no problem in the universe that can't be solved by the name Cooter. Thank God for Cooter. Ben Jones.
Isolate that.
Ben Jones played Cooter. He's right in our backyard in the D.C. area. And the Dukes of Hazzard. Does this guy ever go away? That's what I want to know.
Is he still in office?
Yeah, he'd like you to know, Rob, that the Confederate flag is a symbol of, quote, heritage, not hate, and pride, not prejudice.
Moron.
Okay, I'll bite. In a long Facebook post, he said, quote, our beloved symbol is now being attacked in a wave of political correctness that is unprecedented in our nation of free speech and free expression. Activists and politicians are vilifying Southern culture and our heritage as being bigoted and racist. No, we're vilifying the Confederate flag
as a symbol
of that. We know that that's not the case, and we know that in Hazzard County there was never any racism. Well, Hazzard County's a fictitious television show.
I don't think Boss Hogg liked black people.
Oh, here we go. Cooter has a financial stake in the flag. He owns three Dukes of Hazzard themed stores in Tennessee and Virginia. If he got rid of all the Confederate flag imagery, he'd probably be reduced to selling Boss Hogg bobbleheads.
Do you know how many dummies out there think that this flag is not going to be available to them anywhere?
Yeah, the sales are off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah, you know who did this? Big Confederate flag.
I sat there and I said, I read an article 2 days ago where I said, these people are just, they're rushing out to buy the flag. And I said, they didn't stop making it. One flag maker stopped making them. That doesn't mean someone else isn't going to make them.
Right.
Like, they're going to be around for as long as people are buying them, and people will unfortunately always buy them.
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's the same way when they talk about gun legislation or a tragedy happens. People go out and buy a lot of guns because they think they're going to be legislated away.
Shocked that people are so scared that this flag is going to go away forever.
Let me paint something for you with a really broad stroke. The people that the flag is really important to might not really grasp the big picture. It might be beyond them. And so they might be making a connection that doesn't exist.
They had one guy on the news that said that he spent $10,000 on flags because when they're gone, he can sell them for a markup, right? For a profit.
And then Mikey will use all of that profit to buy a big bottle of shine.
And the reporter said, you realize that they're still going to be making this flag. And he looked like somebody hit him with a pan in the face.
Yep.
He just sat there. He's like, no, but I heard. He goes, that's one flag maker, and only a handful of stores are going to stop selling them. People are still going to make them.
That's not what they said at the rally.
He sheepishly walked off camera. That's all it was.
Yeah, people. You have a major retailer. Let's use Walmart as an example. Sure. And you have probably symbols around southern states. It's going to come down, probably. Yeah. I hope so. And then, you'll still be able to get it in the United States.
You can still get Nazi memorabilia gun shows.
That's true. Right. That's
you can still buy that.
And that's what I love about gun shows. Yes, fantastic.
That's my favorite show.
If you've been watching Family Feud, you know that it isn't crazy to suggest that Steve Harvey may be the show's best host.
Yeah.
We've talked about that
before.
This is true. I was mentioning that just the other day, and now it's starting to show in the ratings. Nielsen's numbers for syndicated shows for the week of June 8th have just been released, and for the first time ever, Family Feud is number one, surpassing both Wheel and Jeopardy.
Isn't that amazing? That is massive. Wheel and Jeopardy have owned it for like 15 years.
He also beat out Judge Judy. Family Feud is up 33% from where it was last year. So congratulations to Steve Harvey for that. It is the perfect vehicle. He's a very lucky guy.
I wonder that
he's taken advantage of that incredible opportunity.
I wonder if it has anything to do with the primetime insertion of the Celebrity Family Feud, because that's like a promo for
it. No, it has something to do with an amazing presence on social media. They have more viral videos from Family Feud.
They do a good job.
Fantastic. The English language is evolving, but not in a cool way like humans evolved opposable thumbs and powerful genitalia. English seems to be evolving for the worse. The Oxford English Dictionary just announced some new additions, which more or less legitimize them as real English words. Check them out here. Auto-tune. That is now one of the new...
That's an official word now.
Official
That's
word
fair.
Term. If you want the dictionary definition, to alter or correct the pitch of a musical or vocal performance using an auto-tune device, software, etc.
Do they hyphenate it, or is it one word?
One word.
Auto-tune. Wow, okay, very good.
Faux shizzle.
No way.
It's about time.
They put it there. In the language of rap and hip-hop, this means for sure, for shizzle.
My dizzle.
Am I going to go to the Minnesota State Fair? Faux shizzle.
Hey, do you know why Snoop Dogg carries an umbrella? Faux drizzle.
We don't ever do that again.
By the way, we submitted one word, and I'm so glad they accepted
it. Oh, good.
Half-ass. To perform, here's the dictionary definition, to perform an action or task poorly or incompetently, to do something in a half-hearted manner. We wrote the book on that at the Mike O'Mara Show.
That reminds me, they've asked, I have to submit my picture. Got to get that off to them.
Another one, hot mess. We've used that one, too. Something or someone in extreme confusion or disorder. He's a hot mess. And I don't know if this is going to get bleep, Pony. I don't like to do this to you on this day, but masshole. That is a term of contempt for a native or inhabitant of the state of Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. Heard a lot of that.
Hey, you know what? Ago. Standards and practices say it's okay.
Yeah, as long as you don't go and repeat it.
The other two are sext. We all know what sexting is. Mm-hmm. Sext, if you send a sext, or stanky.
Stanky! Stanky made it in there.
Not okay.
Having a strong, unusually unpleasant smell.
Oh,
very good.
Dear.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a little something, something. 65-year-old Anthony Dunton of Ackworth, Georgia, was arrested on Saturday for putting weed killer into a co-worker's water bottle at least four times.
Not okay.
Summertime. The first time he did it, the guy noticed that his water tasted weird and it was foaming.
Hey, my water tastes like atrazine.
After it happened a second time, the guy set up a camera to record it when he left his desk. He got two videos of Anthony taking his water bottle, leaving, and then coming back a few moments later. In one of the videos, Anthony even wipes his fingerprints off the bottle.
Oh, what a jerk.
When the cops arrested him, he told them he wasn't trying to kill the guy. It was just a prank.
Oh, no.
The guy said, quote, just to mess with him.
Yeah, okay. It's a good prank.
Fortunately, the guy that he was doing this to was not seriously injured, but he did wind up in the hospital with some kidney pain. And he can no longer grow a beard. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
What they did is systematically took away any ability to be spontaneous, to think about whether or not you want to say it.
Mike just took off his shirt.
He sure did.
I'm very clean.
Hey,
wow.
Does your golden necklace ever get tangled in that hair?
No. It's not golden. It's silverish.
Oh, okay. Well, oh
I think it's platinum. I think it's platinum.
Of course it is.
You, Rob.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Yep, that's the promo. Shocker. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, you know what's great stuff? We all love our stuff. Rob Spiewak, where's the best place to get stuff?
Amazon.com through our website or app. I use
Pony
it
Boy.
All the time.
Pony Boy, where do you get all your stuff?
I get it from Amazon, Mike, and I go to Amazon through the tab at the top of our page or in the app.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Noel, where do you get all your stuff? Scream it real loud.
Amazon,
very good. Hey, sweet. New intern that we haven't met yet, but we're going to meet on tomorrow's show. Where do you get your stuff?
The Amazon TMOS page.
Oh,
there you go.
That's good.
Wow,
we love Amazon.
You got on today.
The next time you buy anything, go to Amazon, MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon, and bookmark it or click the Amazon button on our website or click on the shopping icon on our app. It's
nice.
Right there, and it's easy. Shop like you normally would. It's that simple. You help the show, and you help yourself because you get those great Amazon prices. Without further ado, let's open up the Audio Vault for Thursday, June 25, 2015. Rob Spiewak.
I loved this video. Yesterday, there was an LGBT Pride event at the White House, and Mr. Obama was being heckled.
President Obama.
And I love the way he handled it. First of all, he literally shook his finger at the guy.
No.
It was a lady at Rob.
You're
in
my house.
And I should have known that her name is Jenisette Gutierrez. And
oh,
then
give her some publicity. Very good.
And then he dressed her down. This was great.
Yeah, hold on a second. Listen, you're in my house. It's not respectful when you get invited to somebody. You're not going to get a good response from me by interrupting me like this. No, shame on you. You shouldn't be doing this. You can either stay and be quiet, or we'll have to take you out. All right. Can we have this person removed, please? As a general rule, I am just fine with a few hecklers. But not when I'm up in the house. You know what I mean? my attitude is if you're eating the hors d'oeuvres. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay. You know,
and drinking the booze.
Can I just say, what the F is happening with the Secret Service in the United
Thank
States?
You. I was going to pose
really,
the same
what
question.
In the name of Jesus Christ is happening with this effed up organization that used to be one of the best and the brightest? Where they're, what are they doing? Are they scratching their asses when this is going on?
Like one word, a peep should come out, and then that person
and they
should
be
extricated. That's it. Lady, come with us.
Insane.
And
it.
You know, he
it's
kept
ridiculous.
His cool. He is a cool man, and the fact that he had to say one more peep out of you and you're out of here, it should have never gotten to that point.
You know what? I'm gonna say something that's really controversial right now. I'm beginning to think that when you're vetting these people, that you ought to do a little political check too. Because there's so many of these people. Yes, I do. Yeah, I've known these guys. And they line up. I think when Bush is in there, you ought to have Republicans on the Secret Service. And when Obama's in there, have the Democrats, because they have some skin in the game. I really believe that.
It does make sense. It does.
It's just, I picture the guys maybe sitting there smirking, kind of looking. What are they doing? That's the White House.
I could see where you're coming with this point. I really believe.
Wrong about it. I'm just mad.
Yeah.
It's good to be mad about it.
Look, it's just a point of view. I would say we just had a good listener to the program that left the Secret Service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has moved away and he's out of state. When I asked him candidly off the record what the story is, he said that, you know, the organization is in flux and it has changed. Now, the fact that Heckler at the White House is on stage, quote unquote, longer than somebody that's having a bad performance at the Apollo is not okay.
It's not okay.
It's not okay. And if anything, it just highlights the lack of buy-in from the new administration that's running the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
They have
Absolutely.
To buy in regardless of political party, regardless of the actual culture there. They have to buy in, right?
I agree. Yeah. It's just it's embarrassing for the entire country. It really is. It sucks. So fire him.
When you Mike, when you were a top 40 jock and you had a big prize like a Power Porsche, was there anything worse than a winner without emotion?
Oh, the worst. I mean, it would make me angrier than a heckler at the president's.
Jimmy, there was a great moment on the Tonight Show last night with Jimmy Fallon. He had Arnold on as a guest, and they were giving away tickets to the premiere of the new Terminator movie. And this guy just sounds so bored. They called him live.
Hey, is Sam there?
This is Sam.
Hey, Sam, how are you? This is Jimmy Fallon from The Tonight Show.
Hey, how are you?
Sorry if I bored you there. Sam, clearly not a viewer. Sam, everything going great over there? Where are you now? Are you in Michigan?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I'm not calling from the IRS or anything, Sam. I'm just actually
well done, Jimmy.
I have good news for you here, and I have a friend that wants to give you the good news. Here's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm here to tell you that you won, and you're going to come out to the premiere of Terminator. The only question is, how are you going to get to Hollywood? Get to the chopper!
So you know what? If Arnold's there to save the giveaway, sometimes it works. But I just like the guy. Hey, it's Jimmy Fallon. Hey.
I haven't gotten bored with the Arnold stuff yet.
I like
Arnold doing this stuff. I think it's great.
Since he's doing press, he had a great interview where he said he went to marriage counseling with his ex-wife now. And he said that was the biggest mistake of his life. Because as soon as he knew going in that this guy was going to have an axe to grind with him. And knew, and he sat there. He said, as I was sitting there, I said, this is just making it worse. This is just making it worse. And Maria, I told her we shouldn't go. And it's just making it worse. There was no coming back after marriage counseling, he said.
Oh, and was this post all his bad behavior?
This
or
just
was it
happened
free?
Today. This is post.
Oh, so
this is post.
They mean, so he's going to counseling just to try to get along with his ex.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well,
oh, my God.
I wish I had that in the audio vault. Him in counseling.
Can you imagine he's sitting there and there's like a
you
counselor?
Know what? To be going to counseling with an ex-wife? No, I can't imagine that.
Well, that being said, that is your magic audio vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
A chance in hell. Good Lord. That's it. Another Mike O'Meara show is coming on.
How about that?
We're not in my worst.
Anyway, be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeOMaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with us, send anything you want. TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, email Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. Hey, listen, we got a brand new sponsor. They want your help, and we want you to help them. They're Graze.com, Graze.com. Check them out for us. You get a free box of snacks.
Do
you
it.
Think you could help our show out by getting yourself a free box of snacks and make us look good with a new advertiser? You think you could do that? Could you find it in your heart to get a new box of snacks at Graze.com, for Christ's sake?
Thank you.
For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike O'Mara reminding you to check out Amazon Prime Instant Video. The white banner is on our website, and it gives you instant movies and TV shows. Amazon Prime Instant Video. Click on the white banner at MikeOMaraShow.com, and you can start your free trial right now. And now you can shut off your computer.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.